Tick, 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 boom, boom, and boom. Even more, it's WrestleMania week, peeps, and we are hot on the heels of an epic weekend. Welcome to each and every one of you to the Meltdown. My name's Tom Finkill, and as always, I'm joined by the creation of Devastation, the three-time tag team champion of the world. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Tomcat, what is going on, my man? What amazing week. I just got back from Las Vegas Saturday night. I made it home back to Tucson, Arizona, but man, what a show. What a wonderful WrestleCon. Amazing weekend. And we've got a ton to talk about, a ton to unpack here on The Meltdown with my friend across the pond.
The Tomcat is ready to go. I'm literally still in my drip from the weekend. I've got that WrestleMania hangover. So the tux is still on. However, no matter how good I think I look, I will never look as good as Brian Clark does in that crisp Arctic white Chronic hoodie, and flashes the bling as well, Brian. Let's see how they do it.
Just in case they're wondering, this is available at WrestleMerch Central UK.
Oh,
that's right. Oh yeah. So check it out. Full line of Chronic merchandise.
Okay, great. I'm going to put a little tagger at the bottom there so you can get it in WrestleMerch UK. Brilliant. I want to order one myself. Let's get one in.
I got you covered, man.
Okay, cool. So the base of this show is a little bit different from our standard meltdowns. This is going to be a meltdown extra. We are going to completely, as Brian's just said, unpack your WrestleMania weekend. We're going to take a little trip to WrestleCon, as Brian did in person with Title Run Toys. We are going to step the boards over to the grandeur of WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday, and we are going to put a nice big bow on the weekend with what happened at Monday Night Raw last night. It's been a great weekend. It has been a tiring weekend. I don't think I've ever watched as much professional wrestling in one small, compact space of time. I don't know about you, brother, but it's intense when you hit it hard like that.
It really is. And then to actually be in the same city and, you know, being part of WrestleCon, and then actually, you know, when you're back in your hotel room, it's like you are consumed with pro wrestling. And it was a great experience because WWE really did take over Vegas. And that's a hard thing to do considering it's such an entertainment destination for people all over the world. But I mean, I had fans coming up to me from Japan, Australia, New Zealand, amazing merchandise that I haven't seen in 20 plus years of just classics, man. Really great stuff and amazing people.
That's awesome. Well, we're definitely going to talk a lot about WrestleCon, and that's going to be exactly where we're going to start. That is going to be the nucleus, and we are going to work our way out to the current landscape as to what we see post-Mania and everything that the WWE has got lined up for us as viewers. But if you guys went to WrestleCon, let us know in our comments. Tell us all about it. We are a fully inclusive show, so we want to make sure that our listeners and our viewers on YouTube get the full experience. So we want to know exactly who you went to visit, if you did go to WrestleCon, exactly what you thought of WrestleMania, what you thought about the spectacle that was Las Vegas, and how did the Raw after Mania shape up for you? So I'm going to throw it in the air, and I'm going to bat it over to my big friend across the pond, and we're going to touch on WrestleCon first. Now, Brian was with you for Friday and Saturday, courtesy of the legends that are Title Run Toys. Let's give a big round of applause for them. Thank you so much for bringing Brian out to WrestleCon. And Brian, you met up with so many of your past colleagues, fellow legends and Hall of Famers, in the hallowed halls of WrestleCon, one of the biggest wrestling conventions in the world. So talk to us about some of the peeps that you met up with, some of the experiences that you had with fans, and exactly what being at WrestleCon meant to you.
Well, I mean, I was actually seated to a longtime friend of mine, Ernest the Cat Miller, who is also part of Title Run Toys. And it was great.
The three-time karate champ.
The three-time world karate champion. Yeah, got to get that plug in there because he's great. he's also going to be on this show. So we know that that's a definite. So that's great. Looking forward to that. But also very in my same area, I had my own little personal bucket list, and I told myself, like, there's a lot of amazing people here, and there's some great UFC legends here. There's a few guys that if I get the chance, I want to go over and have a talk and introduce myself. And I was lucky and blessed that the one guy that I really wanted to meet the most, Don the Predator Fry, was directly to my left. So needless to say, I spent a lot of time hanging out with the Predator, and it was amazing. We had some great conversation. Found out I knew he was living in Arizona. I thought he was in Sierra Vista. He's actually in Tucson, which is even closer to me. He has invited me to a barbecue, and yes, I will be going. And yes, we will have Don the Predator Fry sometime in the future on this show, and I will be on his. So I am looking forward to that. It was a win-win right out of the gate.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and happy Easter to you all. Wow. Drop. Yes, we're going to have to pick that up. I mean, it's incredible. I've seen the pictures, and we are going to be throwing up pictures all the way through our chat today and videos too. So you're going to see us, and then you're going to see us in smaller form, and we're going to take you behind the scenes of WrestleCon as Brian has interacted with some of these absolute legends. Don't fly. Check him out. He needs to be on the meltdown. Yes.
And I got to say, Don was just he was just such a nice guy, very down to earth, very genuine. There was no BS about him. He was just so easy to talk to. Like I said, I introduced myself. He knew who I was, which was great. And of course, I knew who he was and the legend that he is. We both had a lot in common as far as we had been through the stem cell therapy down in South America and Colombia over the last most recent years. And so we just chatted it up, man. And one thing led to another. And so I'm really looking forward to going down and having a big steak and talk about Arizona and horseback riding and all the fun things that we do out here. And then we'll talk some pro wrestling while we're at it.
That is going to be a barbecue not to be missed. There will be some foot-long cigars lit that afternoon.
He loves them.
I've seen the pictures of him and Bradshaw and Ron Simmons. Yeah. Now that is a full-on round table. That would be absolutely incredible. So we've met up with Ernest Catmiller. We've met up with Don Fry. While we're on the subject of UFC, for those of you that have seen the picture and were scratching your heads as to who's that? Let's find out exactly who that was.
That was Mr. Tank Abbott. Yes. Tank Abbott, who was just known as unbelievable knockout artist and just a big beast. But he was great to talk to. I'd worked alongside him in WCW at the very end when he was part of Three Count and that whole storyline. But just as nice as he could be, as always. And he's had some recent health issues, but he's bounced back. He told me some amazing stories that we will be sharing and hopefully actually have Tank on the show also. I did mention that to him. And so when he's feeling better, like I say, he looks so much better than he has recently. So just blessing, man. And just hope that he continues his path of health. And also sitting right next in there's no way that this can slip by. Dan the Beast Severn was right next to Don the Fry. I mean, hey, we had it all. We had the UFC circle. And then at the end of that row was none other than Butterbean. That's right. The other knockout artist.
Now let's just break this down. Okay, so we got the creation of Devastation. We have got the Predator. We have got Tank the Beast Abbott. We have got Dan the Beast Seven. Now there is a group of individuals that you don't want to be challenging up in a bar.
it's like knockout row. Really, it's a who's who of knockout, and I'm not including myself. I'm just saying those guys. Those guys are knockout experts, no doubt about it.
Well, for all our wrestling fans, just trace yourself back to WrestleMania 15 when you saw the very, very able Butterbean, who is a big proponent of DDPY. So we're going to send a big shout out to DDP as well and doing incredible things. Butterbean lamped one on Bart Gunn. What incredible memories. Yes, that is like a killer's row.
Beautiful. Yeah, there you go. Killer's Row. Perfect.
Excellent. Well, speaking of killers, we're going to be talking about Killer Cross and the impact that he's had over the weekend and the complete turnaround of his character over the past couple of days. Big fan of the show. We are a big fan of his. So Karrion Kross, Killer Kross, we're going to touch upon you a little bit later on in the show. Okay, so we've talked about all the incredible UFC guys that you met up with at WrestleCon. Let's talk about some of the sensational pro wrestlers that you sent me pictures of. So there's going to be pictures that's going to be flying up on your screen of people like The Godfather, who is the happiest man on the planet. I have never seen anybody hit their head on a satellite. He was that high last time that I met him. He was just a legend, absolute legend. Papa Shango.
Yeah, great guy.
Cream of the crop. So we're going to talk about him. D'Lo Brown, his fellow Nation of Domination member, is going to be featured as well. Sonny Ono and some of your past colleagues from WCW. People like Reno.
Who we've not
seen in a while. How was he? Yeah.
He was doing great. He looked great. We had dinner by myself, Ernest the Cat Miller, Sonny Ono. We all had dinner the last night there, ran into Sergeant Slaughter. And so that was all great to be able to see those guys. I also, at the show itself, I got to meet Jinder Mahal. Do not hinder the gender. I never got to meet him, and I finally got to meet him. It was great. He told me that he really loved my style back in the day. And I was like, man, you know, I just told him how great he looked because he's still amazing shape. And I loved his work, a big fan of his. And I had the chance to walk with Elias. That's right. Walking with Elias, got to meet him.
Just took it away from me. Took the breath out of my lungs there because I feel like an acoustic song is pending.
If he would have had the guitar and hit a couple of notes, man, we would have been ready. But the creation of devastation, Wrath, walked with Elias, just so you know. But yeah, great guy, by the way.
I love that. Yeah. Well, let's get him great walking.
Character, yeah.
All the way through to the meltdown, and maybe he plays a song or two.
And another one, I ran into none other than Big Sexy himself, Kevin Nash.
And now there's a conversation because Kevin obviously featured in our WCW episode and was featured on our WrestleMania 10 episode as well. Yep. So a double whammy from Big Sexy himself. How was Kevin this weekend? Was he good? Was he in great spirits? Was he happy meeting fans?
Good spirits come up, and we gave each other a big hug, and we do our little back and forth, ribbing each other, you know, and laughing and stuff. But it was good to see him, and yeah, he was in a really good mood, and of course I was, so good to see him. He looks like he dropped some weight, and it looks like he's moving really well. I know he also is a big proponent of the having the stem cell down in Colombia. So yeah, he's big advocate of the stem cell, yeah, I should say. And
that's wicked. So, yeah, we're going to learn a lot more about the stem
cell. Oh, we will. Yeah, I will definitely. We'll share all that and go into a little deeper dive and peel back some of those layers. Just trying to round. Oh, Mick Foley, of course.
I was just going
to
say, bang, it's here on my screen, literally, for those of you there.
There you go. On my screen. And I told him, I said, you know, April 1st, you were in a car accident. I thought he was ribbing me because until I found out, a little bit later it was true, but he goes, he didn't realize that it was actually April 1st that it happened. And so he just posted it. And a lot of people don't even pay attention to April Fool's Day. I know sometimes I forget it, that it's the day until something pops up on the internet and you go, okay, it's a rib. Yeah. His was not a rib. He really was in that accident. And
that was very scary,
lucky,
man.
Very lucky, yeah. He got away almost injury-free, which was a blessing, man, really.
To walk away from something that was truly that terrifying. For those of you that haven't seen the pictures, I'm going to flash some up here on the meltdown so you can see exactly the level of wreck that Mick walked away from pretty much unscathed, and that someone was watching him on that day. So sending all our love and big prayers out to Mick Foley, because someone's watching you, brother. Better buy a lottery ticket. He's found that four-leaf clover. Go for it. Yes, excellent. Yeah. So it sounds like the start of your weekend was fun-filled, energy hyped and packed full of nostalgic flavor for all our incredible fans that went over to meet Brian with the Title Run Toys crew. Let us know about your interactions with the big man. What did he sign for you? I want to see some pictures. Take a few snapshots and send them over.
Sure. To we'll love to see it. Yeah. Show.
You also had the opportunity to meet up with one of the Meltdown crew himself, Mr. Jonathan O'Dwyer from Limerick, Ireland. It's been a while. You've been working together. So I just want to send out a big salute, a big Meltdown bomb drop, sending our love out to Jonathan.
And, you know, he was as advertised, as great as a guy that I thought he would be. We had a wonderful time together. We went out and had steak and lobster on Saturday night, courtesy of the Luxor Hotel and the Fantasy Girls, and my good friend, PR, head of PR over there at the Fantasy Group is Miss Penny Levin, who I've known for many years. And so Jonathan was great, man. He shows up and he's got a hat from Ireland and a big Ireland football jersey. He hooked my wife up with the jersey also, just a sweet guy. And so, yeah, man, we had a good time, hung out in the hotel room, hung out at the restaurant, went to the show. He went to the Hall of Fame dinner or to the Hall of Fame ceremony. So, yeah, it was great. Had a wonderful time with him. And I'm just so glad we finally got to meet. And
we are sending big love out to Limerick, Ireland. Yes, Jonathan, we are proud to have you as part of our crew.
And he should be home as we're recording this. He's probably getting close to getting home. We had a long flight. But yeah, he does some amazing work for us, and he is very excited to be working with us. So yeah, part of the Meltdown, baby.
He is. He's rocking it. We'll send it all our love out to you. Thank you, mate. Now, before we put a nice big bow on WrestleCon, there is another couple of superstars that you met that was like a meeting of two epic teams combined, creating a super team. And I'm talking about the one, the only, Here Comes the Axe and Here Comes the Smasher. We had a Chronic Demolition full-on mashup, and the only thing that was missing, but he's always in your hearts, was the legendary Bryan Adams, our very own crush. So talk to us a little bit about Demolition, because I've got a sneaky suspicion that they could be appearing on the Meltdown very, very soon.
You know, getting to see Bill and Barry, love those guys. We've been friends for many years, always stay in touch with each other. We have a lot of different merchandising opportunities that come our way. And so we're always chatting business. But I've known Bill since the very beginning of my career.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I've got a couple of stories to tell when they do come on about how Bill actually really helped me at the very beginning of. You know, I didn't have a job, so to speak, when I graduated college and moved to Atlanta. And Bill was the guy that really stepped up and helped me out. And I'm going to share that story with everyone down the line. But again, just those two guys I'm just so glad they've got a new WWE licensing merchandising deal. They are signed on that, which is great, well-deserved, overdue. I don't know how else I can say it, but the Hall of Fame has got to be next for those guys.
It's got to be. I think they missed it this year, just on time, more than anything. I'm sure those decisions will have been made prior to them signing those Legends contracts.
Yeah.
So, yes, you might have just heard it here first, that we're expecting 2026 to come a call in for Big Barry and Bill. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
And I'll also our good friend Fred Ottman.
Yes, who did come calling this year.
Yeah.
I'm loving the ring, Fred. Loving the ring. I saw a picture of that up on Twitter today.
The best rings ever, finally.
The ring. What did we say? What did we say?
I think that's the best ring that it looks like an NFL football Super Bowl rings, what it looks like to me.
And it's interesting who else went in as the headliner when the rings
there you go. Yeah, we had to upgrade. We're going upgrading there, so we're going to upgrade the rest of the gimmick. I got it.
You got it, brother.
I got it. But really, they look, that's the way they should look, in my opinion. If you're given one, do it right. And they got it right. They really do look nice. If I had one previously, I would tell myself, can I make an exchange here and get what you guys got? I mean, if you're going to be wearing it around town, you know.
And with the drip that you're in today, Brian,
Well, this is just my Arctic white hoodie, baby. But I mean, if I had that ring, it just looked just very impressive.
Yeah. Completely.
It should be. It should be because it represents the company and the history of the business.
We're sending out all our love to this year's set of Hall of Famers. As we've just touched upon, Fred Typhoon, a member of the Natural Disasters, inducted this year, as was our very good friend Lex Luger. So big love out to him. Michelle McCool, Steve and Brett for their epic encounter at WrestleMania 13. The Legacy Wing. Now, the Legacy Wing is something that I really look forward to just find out who they're going to acknowledge that has unfortunately passed away, but needs their place in the hallowed halls. So this year we had Kamala, we had Dory Funk Sr., and we had Ivan Koloff that have made the move into the Hall of Fame of WWE, and of course, headlined by Triple H. Now, a question that I've got for you, Brian, and we haven't talked about this before. Should there be a physical WWE Hall of Fame? What are your thoughts on it?
I think with so many years of having the Hall of Fame now, there's really no reason they should not. And of course, I would say have it in Stamford, Connecticut. It could be a destination, but with especially as it's so global, it always has been, but just the last few years of people really flocking to the country, into the world, into the U.S. to have it in Stamford, or they have it at each WrestleMania. Something they could, if there's a way they could move it, and there's ways they can do those kind of things.
Yeah.
So it could be like a rotating Hall of Fame, but on the road every year at WrestleMania. So it could be something they could see, the fans that could really lock into the history, like the NFL Hall of Fame, but more so, especially emphasize it at WrestleMania every year. So it'd be just another avenue for the fans to really grasp the history of the business.
We'd all love to see it. Definitely. Yeah. They need to put bricks and mortar in place with a big HOF above the door. I'm sure it would be a massive tourist attraction for the WWE and showcase some of the most legendary ring-worn items, flashback images of the superstars that paved the way for what we see on Raw and SmackDown and NXT each and every week. Some iconic moments, that beautiful statue of half of Brett and half of Steve. I really enjoyed that. That was unique. We are a very positive show. We are always finding the best parts of exactly what we see on the TV each and every week. But a quick question, and again, I've not talked about this with you, but I do like to drop in just those little bombs from now and then.
I'm getting used to it. The Tomcat will drop some bombs on me when I'm not expecting it. So let's hear it, big man. What do you got?
Well, I was always expecting to catch that rubber flying bomb from yourself back in the day, and it never happened. So we're now batting it in. Here come some receipts. Let's see exactly what we've got. Okay, here's the question. So we're obviously very well aware of the WWE Hall of Fame. However, there are select names that haven't yet been inducted. So we touched upon Demolition prior. Was there anybody else that you think would make an excellent Hall of Famer that has yet to sign on that dotted line and been given the accolade?
There are a lot that come to mind, honestly. There are times that I see certain individuals, and I think at a point in time that most people that achieved a really good amount of success or either was very important in the company. But I sort of think like a Steve Blackman and possibly Ken Shamrock. There's two guys that right there that were always at least mid-card or better. But Ken Shamrock is a guy that, you know, he would be one that would be really up on that list, who made the transition from, you know, the MMA UFC type world into pro wrestling and was successful. But there are definitely a lot of others. And I think it's just a matter of time, it's great to see, because I like to see that the legends are getting the respect and being added back into the merchandising deals and into the video games and all those important things that will actually help them out, honestly. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I know from my own experience and obviously talking with you off camera, from our own humble opinion, and I know you won't want to mention him because of your own beautiful tie-in, but of course, Bryan Adams has got to make an appearance in that Hall of Fame. We've got to have a crush in that Hall of Fame. He's got to
I would love to see it. It would be great for Bryan and his family, and so well deserved. He accomplished so much in his career and doesn't get the credit really that he truly deserves. So I would fully love to see that happen and have my absolute best wishes to his family that happens.
Yes, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen with him. Let's do that. Now he's just his family has signed on with the Legends deal, so he is one step closer to that massive achievement. So let's keep our fingers firmly crossed. Let's crush it up and send out all our love to the big man upstairs. Yes, we are here representing you. We are still breaking necks and cashing checks as only Chronic can. Now, stepping away from WrestleCon, let's talk a little bit about WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. Massive, massive numbers flopped from all over the world into Las Vegas, Nevada, and turned it upside down as only pro wrestling can. What was it like being out on the strip in Vegas during WrestleMania season?
It was, I don't want to say a madhouse, but very chaotic.
It's a madhouse, Bryan. It was a madhouse.
It was a chaotic madhouse. How's that? But in a positive way. I mean, as soon as I walked into the hotel, first person I run into is Bubba Ray Dudley. I walk in the door and I see him, quick handshake. Hey, how you doing? And I try to work my way to get to the check-in counter. And of course there's Chavo Guerrero. There's Ernest Miller. Teddy Long we were all just trying to, okay, get our stuff and get to our room because the hotel was packed with fans and fans from all over the world in their gear with their belts on. I mean, they had it, man. But they were all really respectful, honestly. I can't think of, usually there's always one and someone who just makes it a little awkward. But this time they were very respectful and they knew that, hey, we just flew in from all over different parts of the country. And so we got checked in. Jake the Snake Roberts was also checking in with us about the same time. So we had a whole plethora, if you will, of different wrestlers, baby. If you will. And so we got to answer the question. It was a little crazy in Vegas the whole weekend. I even went out and like I said, I did the fantasy show over at Luxor. We went to attended that, and they wanted to know all about me, and I told them, the PR people. And so halfway through the show, they stopped and introduced me, and the place was packed with wrestling fans, so they shined the light on me, and everybody's stops. But it was nice. It was a very nice little tribute there.
That's awesome. So yeah,
good stuff, man. Good stuff, no doubt.
Beautiful. Well, from the madhouse, we're on that situation, there's been a couple of different performers, legends, superstars, and Hall of Famers that have actually commented in a positive light and in a negative light when it comes to cosplay. Fans approaching them at conventions dressed as stars that may have come before and passed away. And I just wondered from your perspective, what is your view on fans dressing up to these conventions?
Well, I can say just from my experience, the guys that I have met, there's this one guy that does a Randy Savage and another guy that does a Dusty Rhodes, both very respectful. I'm actually friends with these guys. They do their best to do a really honorable tribute. Even the guy that does Dusty actually met Dusty and got his approval, and he's met Dustin and Cody. And so it's... it's a positive thing. It's like they want people to not forget the legends because they love these guys. They both like the guy that does the Macho Man, and there's a lot of them. This one particular one I'm friends with on Instagram. He does it as a tribute and does nothing but love and respect for Randy. Same way the guy that does for Dusty is just a huge fan. And because I questioned him, I hit him with some questions about, you know, the old Superstation TBS kind of stuff. And he nailed it. He knew it. He was boom, 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 boom. I was, okay, this guy's, he knows what he's talking about. So, yeah. I think for the most part, now there are, I'm sure there's always some clowns somewhere, you know.
So. They're just cosplaying as Doink. That's all they are.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
There we go. But yeah, we are just sending all our love out to all our wonderful cosplayers. From a lot of the images that we've seen, like Brian said, 99% of them are absolutely on fleek. They're looking incredible. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is that tribute comes from the heart, keeping the spirit of some wonderful entertainers, some Hall of Famers, and some icons from the past well and truly alive. So yes, you get the Meltdown's blessing. Now let's talk about blessings from WrestleMania. Now I'm not gonna hit you with what did you think of this match, and let's review this match and this match, because everybody's done that. Give us your favorite parts, and give us the parts, because we are a positive podcast. It's what we're all about. But give us the things that you may have questioned that we might be able to shine a different kind of light on and put a spin on it moving forward. So talk about some of your positives that you saw from night one. And if you need a little refresher, I'll run through the match card with you and you can pick up on a few of those. So we started off with Jey Uso winning the World Heavyweight title.
I felt like this was coming. The whole Yeet movement, I felt it was definitely coming. However, if I have to critique this just a little bit, I don't like the way that Gunther had to tap out to his own submission move. I think there was a million other ways to go about getting him the win. However, little caveat here is that we circle back when we get to it on Monday night, retaining that heat again, but we'll get to that. So that's what I said about the first one, but I'll finish up when we hit with Monday Night Raw, and I'll tell you what I mean about that little caveat in that little silver lining there for Mr. Gunther.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, we'll put a pin in that and come back to that when we discuss Monday Night Raw, because that was a big, big part of the show. And now a question that I do want to ask you, and we are going to show the video in just a few seconds. I'll count it down 3, 2, 1, and I'll show the video to you guys. So okay. We can't see it on screen ourselves, is the post-match press conference with Jey. Now, we want to keep everything positive. However, I want to put a spin on things and ask you, if Vince McMahon was still in charge of the WWE, what would Vince's reaction be to this?
Yeet. Hell yeah, I love it. Fire. Internet. I don't know what it is. Soak it in, because this is it right here. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But hell yeah. Two-time World Shockers. I'm damn near World Heavyweight Champ. Yo. Next, I'm in Vegas. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I think things would have been different on Monday if VKM would have been running the show when this happened. Just my thoughts. I don't know. Maybe he would let it slide. Hard to say, because that's such a major accomplishment, a major achievement, and it's also the spotlight of the company. That's what everybody's looking at, that person that holds that title. So it's really hard to say, but I think that there might have been some changes on Monday night. Hard to say, but again, you got to really, when you're given that opportunity and you become the guy, everything you do matters.
Absolutely. When that time comes and that spotlight is on you,
yes,
every little thing matters. So
I'll give you a quick example, Tom, too. Look at, for example, Cody for one year run. Very prestigious, very high level, high road champion. So that's what you need to think about.
Three-piece suits, its own buses, It's grandeur, and it is straight laced. It is down the line. It is everything that Ric Flair preached about looking like a champion and acting like a champion at all times. So I guess if any kind of, I think as well, it's the environment and the years that we live in. Everything is captured. Everything is filmed. There is a camera pointing at you at all times. So just be on your best behavior. I thought it was hilarious, but if I was if I was in management, I'd have also have been pulling him to one side and having a little word about having a few less drinks at the bar. But yes, let's go on to another feature from our Saturday night, and that is the big main event. Tell us what you thought of the triple threat match.
Let's see. That was Punk, Roman, and Seth freaking Rollins with Mr. Paul Heyman on the outside.
Yes. So talk to us about what you thought of the finish.
I was surprised. Actually, I was surprised a little bit with the finish. It did. I didn't think that he would end up with Seth Rollins for some reason. I don't know why. It just didn't cross my mind. But it swerved me. So that's good. I like it. I like to be surprised. Yeah. I don't like that Paul surprised me with another 10 or 15 pounds. I don't like that, Paul. So get on the treadmill, my man. But other than that, I think it was great. The only reason I say that, Paul, because your health is wealth, baby. Remember that. Health is wealth.
And there's a t-shirt right there.
There you go. So, yeah, but it did surprise me, and I like that. I like to be surprised with something good and something I didn't think of outside of the box. I'm good with it.
Do you reckon that was the best match of night one? And it's tough to put a pin on everything because we had some epic encounters. We had Tiffany and Charlotte. Yep. We had LA Knight and Jacob Fatu, as well as the tag team titles, El Grande Americano and Rey Fenix. There was a lot going on. But let us know. So let's just compartmentalize night one, first of all. Biggest highlight, biggest questionable moment.
Well, the biggest, start from the top.
Yep.
I think that finish could have been different with Jay and Gunther. Mm-hmm. Highlights of the night, of course, Tiffany and Charlotte were phenomenal. I would have wanted Charlotte to go over personally. LA Knight and Fatu, I think they could have made that last even longer and not change the title. And looking at Americano. Hey, man. Hey, you got to give him some credit. I love that he's creative like that. So I like to see that work. And by the way, that would have been versus Rey Mysterio, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Or it should have been against Rey. There was an injury on SmackDown, which meant that the Lucha Bros got a double whammy at WrestleMania. We got to see both Penta and Rey Fenix.
That's it. Okay. So there was an injury to Rey. And so either way, he still gets the win. It looks good. And those are the few changes that I thought could have been better. And by the way, we did have a crowd both nights now.
Oh, good. Let's find out these figures.
You ready? For both nights, 124,693. Mm. That's what I got. So over 61,000 per night easily. Yeah.
And apparently we're going to get them all subscribing to youtube.com/RealBrianClark. They had to sign a waiver when they walked in. It's going to happen. They're coming up quick. Excellent. So as we move on to WrestleMania Sunday, I want to ask you a question just about a talent exchange, as it were, as lots of talent have made their way over from AEW, and we've had some returns as well, about how that talent has been booked at WrestleMania and whether or not you think it was the right decision from a talent basis. So we saw Penta make his WrestleMania debut, as we did with Rey Fenix. From a TNA standpoint, we saw Joe Hendry step in as the mystery opponent for Randy Orton.
Right.
But all of the talent that have made their way over from different promotions, and obviously the big acquisition for AAA over the weekend, do you think it was the right booking decision to book them on a losing effort?
Well, that's sort of the history of it, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the invasion angle, if you go back to any time there was a major acquisition, it's almost like a testing phase. And what I mean by is testing their attitude, testing how they react to a loss, just testing the individual. It's not always the case, But if you think back to all those WCW guys that they brought in and they beat them, brought them in and beat them, brought them in and beat them. It's repetitive here. So that still may go on. It still may be the office's way. The office would think to myself, biggest stage, big show, Monday Night Raw, WrestleMania, whatever it is, we're going to bring you in. How do they handle it? That's the question. And I think they'll all do fine with it. You know? Yeah. But yeah, that's sort of the history of the company, I think, from looking at it like that. Yeah.
It's the old analogy of professional wrestling schools and the old training camps. It was push them as hard as they can and the initial part to find out who would be weeded out of the chaff and who would turn up for more. If you turned up for more, then you had it in your heart and soul to carry on. So I guess they're pulling that same kind of rhetoric when it comes to talent that have made their way over to WWE. My biggest takeaway from this is that they got they had the ability and they were given the showcase to perform at the Showcase of the Immortals. So they've always got that now on their resume. So even in a winning or losing effort, they have performed at the highest caliber and the area where every professional wrestler wants to be at one particular time. So let's move on to night two, to the Sunday night. So Sunday night had us reacting to the main WWE championship match that pitted John Cena against Cody Rhodes. We opened it up with a blinding three-way dance with Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, and Bianca Belair. And from what I've heard on the grapevine, Geico have increased the insurance premiums for one Stone Cold Steve Austin. Let's talk about that. And I'm going to show you a video as well of Mr. Austin. In fact, let's do that now while we're talking about it and thinking about it, because Steve is renowned for his driving ability. It's been a big thing. He's driven everything from monster trucks to Zambonis down to the ring. However, on this particular evening, I think there was a little bit of difficulty with Mr. Austin and the vehicles that he was riding in. I'm going to bring the volume down on this. However, Brian, don't know whether you've seen this clip yet.
This is the
one where he hits the barricade. This is making his entrance. So cast your eyes down towards the bottom of the screen as I press play. And let's see the issues that Steve had just getting up the ramp. Okay, here we go. We'll be able to see him a few moments' time. Let's take a little look. There we go. You can see the ramp. There's Austin. He's missed the ramp. He's missed the ramp completely. He's going to have to back up.
Oh, well, I did not see that. But, you know, he did this for so many years in different arenas. And he's out here in the West Coast where I'm at. He's in Nevada. He's in Reno, actually. And he rides these things everywhere. However, this looks like, I don't know if this was, I'm not sure why he went that direction, but yeah, he's really good on these things. He really is.
Well, you need to send him a little letter of referral to his insurance company, because
he definitely needs to slow down. You know, the speed of this thing.
He was going hell for leather around this ring. You'll be able to see it momentarily. In fact, this clip might actually take us all the way through to the break. Let's take a look.
Okay.
Here he comes around that last corner. Let's see if it picks it up.
Oh, there it is.
Off of the money shot. My goodness me. What a time to be alive. And I'm so glad that lady in the audience is still alive. I bet she had a few days off work.
Yeah.
I can't come in today.
I'm working it. I just got hit by Steve Austin. I was just stunned at ringside, right?
What would your boss say to that? Honestly, you made that call. I'm sorry, I can't come in. Steve Austin ran over me in an ATV.
I'm in a neck brace now. Get the stunner. Yeah. I would always sit back and just wonder how he, like I said, he rides these things daily. I don't have one. I just ride the horses, but I stay away from the ATVs. But out here, out in the West, man, there's so many great places to ride. And I know that I think he races those things. So he's got a ton of experience on them. But again, it's different when you're in an arena and you're on such a short runway trying to get from point A to point B. And then, of course, circle the ring a few times. And so, yeah, and I'm sure I could bet you anything that that has happened in the past where he's hit a few things on the way. This is just about impossible not to. So,
but like we said, in the past, cameras weren't rolling. So,
yeah, everybody seemed to be okay. And so that's the bottom line. He caught the beer, double smash, nailed it, you know, so all good.
Did you just drop? And that's the bottom line in there, Mr. Clark. You did. I don't know.
You know, I'm just saying.
Love that. That'll be a reel. We've been doing this for like 3 or 4 weeks now. That'll be a reel. Love that. Let's line it up. Beautiful. Okay, so let's get back to talk about night two. So just like we did with night one, give us your highlights, your most favorite parts of the show, and give us areas that you thought they may have dropped the ball on just a little bit. Yeah, we'll get to that title match later. Okay.
I love the Io Sky, Rhea, and Bianca. I thought that was it was such a hard-hitting match. And Io just elevated herself more so in this match, in my opinion, because I felt like she was getting there, but now I really see her up at the top. I really do. And it didn't hurt Rhea or Bianca. So that was a standout match. And of course, AJ Styles and Logan Paul, another really good standout match that also you could see Mr. Karrion Kross involved in. Also the Drew versus Damian false count anywhere. They use just about everything in the arena. Well, at least ringside. I don't think
you like the selfie. I like the selfie spot.
Yeah, I love the selfie spot. And he said that was from his brother's phone. Is that correct?
Yeah. Did you see how many likes it got on Twitter within minutes?
No, I could just only imagine. No, I didn't.
I'm going to give you an accurate number to just so that we can be absolutely pinpoint as to how many likes Drew McIntyre got from that particular picture. It must have been all set up for him because it was just, so the caption was brilliant as well. Still bored at work. 393,000 likes within the course of a couple of hours.
Wow. It's probably even more now.
Amazing.
That is amazing. Like I said, I'm a big fan of his. I love his work. I think it'll be a huge mistake if he's not world champion again very soon.
That is work within the work. That is going to the next level. That's when your boss says, what are you giving me more?
Yeah.
That's what he's giving you.
That's it. Yeah, and he's very creative. I like that. You have to be. You have to be creative with your own character, with yourself, what you're doing. And he knows that. He's picked up on it. Karrion Kross is picking it. You know, they're all elevating their game, which is great. I love to see that. I really do.
Well, let's talk about Karrion Kross right now. And I'm going to show you the clip of the junket that happened with Karrion and Scarlett on the Sam Roberts show directly after WrestleMania. Let's take a little look at this video and we can get your reaction to it. So this comes directly after Karrion's appearance in the AJ Styles Logan Paul match. So sit back, relax. As always, what we say here on The Meltdown, we want you to sit back, relax, and melt into your armchairs. Take a look at this.
Let's talk about how awesome it is that Logan Paul just won. And let's talk about, Sam, let's talk about what Logan Paul represents. The shortcut. Feels so good to be here. Feels so good to be in the business. Thinking about all of the funerals that I wasn't able to attend for the last 11 years in this business, all the holidays I missed. You know, I could have just started a YouTube channel, could have just jumped in there with AJ Styles. Feels really good, right? It's awesome. It's really good.
Do you guys know we have 25 years combined experience, and what are we doing on Mania?
Well, they know because they're normal human beings, and they actually love professional wrestling, but apparently that doesn't mean shit anymore. That doesn't mean shit. All I asked Alan to do was for once to not think about just himself. Think about everybody in the back and think about the professional wrestling fans. That's all I wanted him to do. Sometimes to do the right thing, you have to do the wrong thing. But he's a narcissist, and he had to do it his way. Hey, Alan, how many more WrestleManias do you have in your system? Probably, I don't know, one. Maybe this is the last one, and you just pissed that away. For what? For what? For your way? Thanks a lot, bud. I really appreciate it. You want to know what the best advice I ever got? It was from Bill Goldberg. 2021, back when I was in the Twilight Zone, you know what I mean? I'm wrestling for gasoline. It was awesome. Let me tell you all about it. Bill goes, hey, Cross, you know what? You remind me a lot of me. I go, I think we have different styles, Bill, but I really appreciate that. Do you have any advice for me? He goes, you know what? You just got to be a good soldier. A good soldier is what he said. So I decided to be a good soldier. You know what happened? They released me. And then I come back. You know what? Being a good soldier gets you, everybody here, just so in case you're wondering, you want the back scoop here. Being a good soldier gets your times cut. Being a good soldier means that people come up to you and say, hey, you got any great ideas? Yeah, here it is from Scotland. No. That's a little too great. We're looking just for good ideas. That's for those guys over there. That's what being a good soldier is, okay? Being a good soldier is coming to your hometown where you cut your teeth, where you got started, and not being on the card. It's all about viral moments now. That's what it's all about, viral moments. Well, guy, everybody's been telling me that I got to become undeniable. And as soon as it happens, they ignore it and they shut it down. I never asked to wrestle Randy. I never asked. That happened organically, and you ignored it for a viral moment. And good on Joe. Nothing against him. But you ignored it. And the crowd told you exactly how they felt about me on SmackDown when I was eliminated. And you ignored it. Become undeniable. My ass. My ass. You want a viral moment? On behalf of all of the true fans of professional wrestling, guy with the suit and tie in the truck, go fuck yourself. That's from Killer Cross. No. Fuck it.
Wow. I'm not like
it. Word. I like it.
Or reaction.
I love it. Yes, I don't like it. I love it. It's basically shooting, talking about all the moments that he's missed and how he has given everything, the funerals, the family events, all the things that you miss by being on the road and busting your ass in this business for 300 days a year. And what does it get? Being a good guy, being a good soldier gets you nowhere. You have got to push against the system, shake the system up and make them recognize you. And hey, this is Karrion Kross. I'm not your good soldier anymore. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick the door in. That's what he's telling them.
Absolutely sensational work from Karrion Kross. I love the way that he dropped Killer Kross in at the end. Hopefully they will pick up on that. Yep. From my viewpoint as a fan, watching that makes me want to watch Cross even more. And I was a big fan of Cross's to begin with.
Yep.
But it makes me want him on my screen even more. You know why? Because he's telling the truth. Yep. And I think that is a big, big money earner. And it's a benefit that you have the ability to do that on all the different social platforms that are now available. And that took place on a WWE Fanatics platform. So it was company led. So it's not something where the office isn't going to see it. If you are given the opportunity to take the ball, take that ball with both hands and run for the end zone. And I just feel like Cross has just done that. We are keeping our fingers crossed here at the Meltdown that this is the start. This is the genesis for big things for our friend Karrion Kross. More power to you, brother. Let's go. Let's go. What a promo, Brian.
The one thing it had that it had to have, believability. You believe the promo because it wasn't a promo. He was shooting and telling you the truth and telling you all the hell he's been through to get to where he is now. And now he wants to take the next step, laying it out for him.
Love it. Love it. Very, very reminiscent of through watching documentaries and being a fan of the old ECW. There were so many talents that were given that platform to stand up and shoot from the hip. And I feel that Karrion just pointed that spotlight on himself and shone it up so brightly. Let's go. Let's go, Karrion. Yes. Big highlight on my weekend was that promo. Okay, awesome. Let's carry on from there. Let's sure. talk about, so we just talked about a few of the different matches that you enjoyed. What did you think about how they booked Cena and Cody in the finale? Talk to me about it.
Well, again, this is a switching, changing of the guard, so to speak, back to the old guard with Cena winning. I expected him to win. I didn't like the finish. I'll tell you that. Did not like it. It fell very flat for me. I had someone ask me to give them a 1 to 10 on the entire show. And I think I said, and maybe I'm being stiff on it. I don't know. I think I gave the whole everything because of a couple of the flat finishes or the finishes that could have been done differently. I think I gave it like a 7.3 and they were like at a 7.1 or something. So either way, a point here or there. And what my opinion is what it is. And, but for me, I knew this. I really just felt that it was a good way to, you know, Cena had to continue and go over. We knew that. But with the run-in, I just didn't like that part of it. There could have been another way to do it. Why not even have Rock come in and help?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I think it fell flat without him. Without him, it was flat.
From a fan's perspective, as well as a broadcaster's perspective, we have been given the ultimate package of a heel Cena that hadn't been seen in 23 years.
Yeah.
Handed to us on a silver platter at Elimination Chamber with The Rock. And the inclusion of Travis Scott added a small fraction, but not a lot. If Travis Scott wasn't in the ring for that particular segment, it wouldn't have meant any difference to me. I don't know about yourself as a performer, but it wouldn't have meant any difference to me.
Right.
In the closing scenes of the biggest show of the year, with Cena going over for his 17th world title victory, and for him now to step into what is going to be a very long-running angle that's going to lead us all the way through to his retirement at the end of the year, or possibly WrestleMania next year, for us to have a run-in by a rapper who, yes, very current, got one of the biggest tunes in the world right now in Fiend. I play it all the time. Just felt that we were shortchanged on that appearance by another main wrestling talent. We are locked on that screen because we are professional wrestling fans. And I think the omission of The Rock said a lot for this show. I felt that Dwayne should have made an appearance. I felt that if in any kind of run-in, your 7.1 would have tipped the scales a lot more towards the 8.
Sure.
If we'd had an appearance from the final boss. Your thoughts the same?
Yeah, I think that it really would have made a big difference versus Travis Scott being there. Travis could have been way in the back, just as fluff material, but I would have had Rock definitely be a part of it. It just makes sense going from Elimination Chamber to where we are now. I just think that having Rock in that spot, it would have made the transition of a loss so much easier. And then that key word again, believability.
Believability. Massive, massive point in this episode of The Meltdown. For me, sitting back on a Sunday night, it was like 4 a.m. here in the UK. We were checking it out on Netflix. My eyes were propped up with matchsticks. And you hear Travis's Fiend as he saunters. I like that word, saunters. He's way down to the ring because he was really slow on his entrance as well. However, Travis isn't a trained professional wrestler. And he hasn't got the body shape of a professional wrestler. He doesn't look... And he probably can whoop ass, but he doesn't look like he can whoop Cody's ass. That believability of a screen image of looking down the lens, it didn't look like he was going to turn up to assist John by beating the crap out of Cody Rhodes. It did nothing for me. The believability factor was gone for the Tomcat in that. So
you're saying Travis Scott didn't work into the catacombs of your psyche. You didn't believe that was Cactus Jack with that hardcore championship draped over his shoulder. You weren't buying that.
I would have much preferred Mick Foley himself to have rolled out of that car wreck and rolled himself down to the ring, pulled himself up the steps and low blowed Cody Rhodes. That I'd have preferred that. I could have lived with that. I would have probably popped for that.
I think I would have too. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got us to a place. where obviously the storyline is going to evolve from here. I completely, again, echo your sentiments that the main event could have been booked better. I liked the way that Cena came out without any fanfare in terms of video packages or firework displays. I thought that was very clever. Just a nice, easy Times New Roman font on a black background. Thought that was unique. Something we don't see a lot of. However, as you get to it, the actual in-ring was not... And it's difficult for me to say it wasn't the best because I love both John and I love Cody. I just feel like sometimes that chemistry isn't perfectly there.
It isn't there
for me on the mic.
No, I agree with you. I did not see the chemistry. Not that they cannot get it down the line, but there may not be other chances to get that chemistry down the line. But, you know, back in the day, you would work a person 10 times before you even had the big show on the big grand stage. So there may not be that chance, but I agree with you. The chemistry seemed a little bit off.
Do you think it's the lack of dates that Cena is booked in for? And we saw this on Raw. We'll talk about this on Raw.
Yeah.
He's just not there.
Yeah. It does make a difference. It's like working out. It's getting those reps and you get those reps by being on the road and in the ring every night. And even if you are a 20-year veteran, but if you're gone for 3 or 4 years and then you're thrown back in there, you still have to get those reps. You've got to get reacclimated to everything. Of course, psychology wise, you're going to remember everything, what to do, when to do it, how to do it. But actually getting your cardiovascular and conditioning and all those things, it's different. You can do hours on treadmills and Stairmasters and everything. It's different than in-ring cardio. It's completely different. We'll get into that one day and talk about that. But there's some layers to that also.
I personally liked Cody's line on SmackDown or Raw from the previous week, which was that you were whiter than Sting at Starrcade 97. I really enjoyed that particular line. Mr. Cena, yeah, we're going to have to get you a sunbed, mate. Right, so you gave us a score. 7.1 out of 10.
And that was just some random friend on another social media platform just asked me the question, and I just threw it out there because I mean I wasn't going to say, oh, it was a 10 or it was horrible. It was a 3. You know, I just went with that only because of those couple of finishes. So
yeah, and we're a positive podcast.
That takes nothing away from everybody that was on both of these shows, so they all worked their ass off. From top to bottom. There was no one phoning it in on this grand of a stage. They all worked really hard and did some amazing work. I just can say that.
Yep. Good. Excellent. From my side of the pond, my match of the weekend is going to go to Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, and Bianca Belair. I thought they put on an absolute corker. So a massive round of applause out to the ladies. Well done to you. And I also love the finish and keeping the belt on Io Sky. Well done. Yep. Well done. Now, for all of our wonderful viewers and listeners of The Meltdown, we gave you guys the opportunity to guess exactly what your thoughts were as to the winners for WrestleMania. It was our Meltdown WrestleMania sweepstakes, our WrestleMania giveaway. And I can now officially announce that we had not one, but two winners. So Brian, rather than put it into a bag and pick out a name, has gone the whole hog. Yes, he is going to send out prize packages to both of you. And we can now announce the names of our winners are... From Facebook, Mr. Jim Hayes. Well done, Jim. A massive round of applause for you, brother. 9 correct answers. And from Instagram, great Instagram handle. I want to know the meanings behind it. CX3DJC13, you also guessed 9. Prize packs are going to come out to you guys. I'm going to hit you up. We can get your details. And when you get them through, we want to see all your packages. Well done, well done. And thank you so much for playing.
Congrats, big time. We're going to hook you up. The Tomcat and the Bomber himself. That's right. We are going to put together a amazing package for you. You're going to like it. Some signed merch. And when I do merch giveaways, I always include extra goodies. So I'm not going to tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get more than you bargained for. That's for sure. And it's free. It's going to be shipped to you. It's not going to cost you a dime. All you have to do is open your door or your post office, And boom, there it is.
Directly from the bomb shelter. What a package to get. We love it. Congratulations to you guys. And thank you so much to each and every one of you that played our game. We are going to come back with another giveaway for our next PLE, which is going to be Backlash in May. And for this one, we're going to talk about attendance numbers. Just like you've done in the past on TikTok, Brian. We're going to give you guys the opportunity to throw us out a number that you think the attendance is going to be. Whoever is nearest to the pin is going to win a beautiful prize package from the bomber. So yes, well done to our prize winners, and thank you so much to you all for taking part. Now, as we're about to put a nice big bow upon this show, let's just hit up on Raw from the night after Mania. Let's talk about that show. We had some big returns, we had some big debuts, and we had a great showcase. And that has been my word of the episode, is showcase, because everything has been laid out beautifully for the future of WWE programming. I love the way that we're now going to see John Cena and Randy Orton. That is going to be a big program moving forward. We had debuts from NXT talent like Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, and we had an incredible match there against Io Sky. Roxanne Perez made her appearance known as well. And it's my favorite day of the year, Brian.
Oh, I know what day that is. He's been waiting for his return. I'd heard rumblings. I'd heard through other shows and saying that he could possibly return. And he looked amazing, great condition. We're all talking about Rusev Day. Yes, he is ready. He was stacked and jacked. He's been training. Give him some credit. Looked as lean as he has in a long while. Good job.
One of the things that we mentioned on one of our past shows was how certain talents utilize every single second of their screen time. And I felt that Rusev used every second, looking down that lens, looking out to the crowd. There was no wasted movement. He soaked it in. Welcome back, Rusev. We've missed you, buddy. Yes, let's go forward. We also saw on that show a big, big angle develop, and you touched upon it before, as Gunter choked out the McAfee.
Wow. Sure.
Okay, so Gunter's just lost the World Heavyweight title to Jey Uso. Completely bypasses that segment. Doesn't get himself involved in that segment, but channels straight for one of your Mount Rushmore of announcers, Michael Cole. Questions him for how he commentates on his match, pushes him, Pat pushes back, he slaps Michael Cole in the chokehold, Pat nails him from behind, Pat gets grabbed, puts in a sleeper, and all hell breaks loose. Yeah. I thought the way that they sold this was phenomenal. Great work. What did you think about it?
I loved it. I really did. I liked the fact that he went for Michael Cole first. And Michael Cole was his target. And then when McAfee, who is a former NFL punter and just a big guy, probably a good 6'2", 250, says, hey, you know, you need to step off my friend here for a minute. And he goes after him. And then as soon as his back's turned, he thinks we've got everything calmed down. Gunther hooks him and hooks him so well and just chokes him out and leaves him laying. I was telling my wife about this segment. She's like, what, McAfee? Is he okay? And I'll tell you about it in a minute. Cause she was in her office at the time. And so, yeah. So she was like, oh my God, you know, but they sold it so well. And McAfee sold it great, did a great job. All the way through the exit and out the ramp, he did excellent. Like I said, it's something that really can help reestablish and propel him to other areas of just, you know, just the loss to Jey. Okay. Cause the guy had so much steam. You can't just let him lose like that and just let it go. Cause I mean, that's career suicide. So I'm glad that they had something really big and this was it to counter that loss.
I felt that it took him to the next rung on the ladder. And from the sadness that I felt But Gunter and exactly what he brings to the party and brings to the table was gone with the Jay win. I thought it was brought straight back. I thought the way that they sold it, talking about it throughout the card. Obviously, Pat's taken away. Joe Tessitore, who does an incredible job on SmackDown, was brought in. I think his voice is like silky, smooth. Beautiful knowledge of the product. Joe does a great job for being in the game for such a little time. And I think the line of it for me was Michael Cole to Adam Pearce in the back as he said, "I'm not going to let a bully run me out of my job."
There you go. I thought that was brilliant. I also thought like the fact that they had no commentary there and they brought Joe in to Joe's like, "Hey, I'm not prepared for this. But I'm going to do my job and here I'm going to try to fill in and put these dots together and just let you guys know my friend's hurt. McAfee's hurt. I'm here to step in and finish off the show." I thought that was an excellent way to lay it out. No doubt about it.
Round of applause.
Good job, guys.
You've got a big thumbs up and a drop the bomb from the meltdown. We're going to finish up with the last segment. This is the last one that I'm going to ask you about. I want your reaction. As Seth Rollins took to the ring with his wise man now, Paul Heyman, after quite a strange low blow on Roman, I've got to say, at Mania Night 1. And he was then confronted with CM Punk and Roman Reigns when a hooded man jumps the barrier and nails Roman with a spear. What do you think of turning Bron heel and aligning himself with freaking Rollins and Paul Heyman?
Again, I was surprised. First of all, I did not like his loss at Mania. But now there's always Monday to bring things back full circle, just like they did with Gunther. Now they're bringing it back with Bron Breakker. And it elevates him. Now he's with Heyman. You know, he's an IC guy before, but now he's even up higher. So that was two smart moves there as far as way to recoup from those losses. I think they were able to do it.
Definitely think they were able to do it. What I did appreciate, because I felt exactly the same way as you, in that Bron losing the Intercontinental title was something that, as you put out your guesses, you thought that Bron was going to win. However, you thought that the sea of boos that would come from Dirty Don when it was like you could have written it there, Brian, because that is exactly what happened. What I did like was the ending to that Intercontinental title match, in that Bron didn't actually, he wasn't involved in the finish. So that kept him strong from that side. And I can always see the benefit of losing the Intercontinental title mid-card belts. And we shouldn't say mid-card belts, but they are. If that elevates that talent to the next level. And I feel just in one segment, that's exactly what happened with Bron. So, good. What a great episode of Raw. Good show from WrestleMania. And leading into it, everything felt as hunky, as dory, as beautifully warm, as heartfelt as it could with our Hall of Fame. And WrestleCon looked like the place to be in Vegas. What a weekend, mate. We're still recovering, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I took yesterday off from the gym. I'll get started back today and get back on my workout schedule. But I did do the ice plunge this morning, 44 degrees for 4 minutes submerged in the ice. I'm loving it. That's my go-to. But yeah, I'm back in the saddle, so to speak, tomorrow for sure, 100%. But we got two big winners for our program and looking forward to getting that merchandise mailed out and continuing as we blasted episode number 3 with the Tomcat killing it.
Love it. What temperature was that water in your ice plunge?
44 degrees for 4 minutes. And actually, I went past 4 minutes. I pushed it close to 5 minutes today.
Brother, that is next level, because it was 45 degrees here in Manchester.
I have an ice chiller that runs it and it keeps it cold.
Wow.
Consistently. Wow. So
I couldn't do anything like that. You are you're my hero. Let's keep going. I've seen some of the pictures.
Yeah.
Chili McFreeze springs to mind. That could be.
I'm doing it as the shoot Chili McFreeze, though. I'm really in there, you know. So yeah.
I love that. Well, let's keep that going. You look incredible. From all the messages that fans have sent you over the weekend, they have echoed the sentiments that I tell you every day as to how incredible that you look. Keep going.
I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you for everybody that says that. But again, you know, everyone needs to know that health is their wealth. It really is. And you just gotta keep your diet clean and train and keep moving, body in motion. So yeah, you can do it.
The words of the legendary Brian Clark. Let it be an inspiration to you. He's an inspiration to me. And we hope that our show is an inspiration to you guys to go out there, do something special today, make it mean something, enjoy life, enjoy wrestling. That is what we are here to tell you guys. We are all, no matter if we are superstars like Brian, if we are broadcasters like myself, if we are fans like all of us, enjoy it for what it is. It is a medium like no other. Sports entertainment and professional wrestling have been the biggest part of my life and have brought me so much, so many benefits and so many good times. So reach out, reach for that dream and hold on to it and enjoy everything that you see on our screens. There's so much. So we're going to get back to our regular format. We're going to be reviewing another show next week as we present to you guys episode number 4. We hope you liked the little turnaround today. We had to touch upon Mania. It would have been wrong of us if we hadn't. So let us know as you guys take a look down the WWE Vault and WCW channels on YouTube if there's any shows that you want us to review, because we have got a smorgasbord of talents that we're going to introduce back to you guys. Stars from the past, legends and Hall of Famers for the future. We're going to bring them all here to the Meltdown to talk about shows that you guys want to hear the nitty gritty about. So I'm going to give Brian the opportunity to get the last word into the show. But from me and my base here in beautiful, chilly Manchester, England, my name's Tom Finkill. Thank you for checking out the Meltdown. We'll see you next week.
And we are looking forward to seeing you on episode number 4 as we wrap up number 3 right here from sunny Tucson, Arizona. This is the Creation of Devastation, where we are always breaking necks and cashing checks every single week right here on the Meltdown. Do not miss the next episode. We are going to have some big surprises. You will not be disappointed. I will see you then. Much love. See you soon.